today. Everyone has a purpose, no matter who you are or where you have come from, who your parents were, what town, what family you were born in. Every one of us has a purpose. Regardless of how young or how old you are, you have a purpose. I'm a little older now, and although roles are changing in my life, this does not diminish the purpose that God has called me to. It's just different. When my boys were babies, my wife, she and I'd get in the shower to get ready to go to do whatever. I'd hear the door open, and there Patty would be with one of the boys as a baby. She goes, "Honey, I got one for you." And I used to think, "What you got for me, babe?" But after a while, I knew what it was. She was handing me one of our children as a baby in the shower. All of them were different. It was always so amazing to take them in my arms while I was in the shower. My oldest son, Ben, he would love the shower, hold him right up under it. He'd laugh, he'd giggle, he'd think it was the greatest thing. Then came Ryan, his nickname back then. I used to call him Crying Ryan because every time he got in the shower, it was like a blood-curdling fest. It was the end of the world. And then there was Garrett, who was just Garrett. You know, he got in there, everything was just kind of normal. But I don't have that role now that I had then. Praise the Lord for that. But because my role has changed, my purpose has not changed. It's just altered a little bit. And now I'm a grandfather, and Ryan was talking about being away last week. I was in the pool. I was the grandfather of the pool last week. I was in the pool some days from 8 o'clock in the morning until 5 or 6 o'clock in the afternoon. I'd get out and use the restroom. I ate a salad for lunch. Amen. But I was in that pool all day. Ask any of them that, and I'd get out, and I'm telling you what, I look like a beet at the end of the week. But I love that moment, playing, throwing the balls to the kids, having the time of my life. I didn't need anything. I didn't want anything. But my role has changed in that. I still have a purpose. I'm still a father. I'm a grandfather. I'm a father to some that are here, that are watching online. I'm not their natural dad, but I'm a father to them. And sometimes I have learned that over time, some people get stuck in a particular lane so much that when their role changes, they think their purpose has ended. And nothing could be further from the truth. And I want to help all of us today with this purpose, discovering your purpose to what someone else thinks you should or should not be can be very debilitating. Not that we don't need people in our lives. We need people in our lives to help us. We need people, the right people in our lives, to speak into our lives. Proverbs 15:22, without counsel, plans fail, but with many advisors, they succeed. The right advisors, not just anybody. People that are in the long haul for my life. People that have stock in my life. People that want to see the best in my life. And instead of counting down, well, I've got this much time and then I'm going to retire, and you're living your life for a moment in time, that the reality of it is you don't even know if you're going to make it. And a guy told me a few months ago, he said, my wife and I, we're going to celebrate 47 years anniversary. I go, oh, man, what are you going to do? Oh, we're not doing anything. I go, why? He said, we're going to wait till the 50. And I was in one of those moods. I said to him, I looked him right in the eye. I said, how do you know you're going to make it till 50? He said, why would you say that to me? Because it's the truth. We do what God calls us to do now. We don't wait for a particular moment. We engage in the purposes and the plans that God has for us right now. And for some of you, you don't understand what it is or what it could be. And can I tell you, many of the purposes that God has for your life will be revealed when you and I serve the Lord. Jesus said in Matthew 20:26, whoever wants to be great among you must be your servant. You see, there's something that is released in our lives when we serve. Not when we're just consuming people, but when we serve, something great is released in our life. He goes on in verse 27, whoever wants to be first must be your slave. And I looked at every, oh, I bet you 15 translations, and the word is the same. The word is doulos. It means to be less concerned about you and to be more concerned about who you serve. He says, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and he gave his life as a ransom for many. We discover our purpose when we begin to serve. And we read something, an incredible story in the book of Nehemiah, how he fulfills his purpose and what took place in his life discovering that. And let me tell you something. Knowing your purpose just doesn't fall out of the sky. It's not something that you just skip down the road and say, ooh, this is so fun. Engaging in purpose can be difficult sometimes, but it's always rewarding. In Nehemiah chapter 6 and verse 15, it says, so the wall was completed on the 25th day of Elul in 52 days. Very important. He completed it in 52 days. Verse 16, and when all the enemies heard about it, all the surrounding nations were afraid, and they lost their self-confidence because they realized that this work had been done with the help of God. Let me tell you something right there. That anything you do great, anything that God empowers you to accomplish great, you did not accomplish it on your own. Quit trying to think, oh, look at how great I am. Look what I have done. No, the Bible says here that when people look at the great things that God empowers you to do, they will know it's not you. They will know it is the hand of a mighty God working inside of your life. Come on, you need to thank God for that right there. And Nehemiah, he's living in a foreign land, and his job is what is called a cupbearer. He's drinking and he's eating the food and drinking the cup for the king before he eats it, because if there was any poison in it, it would kill Nehemiah before it would touch the king. How many of you would like that kind of job? And while he is doing this, he learns what is happening back at his home in Jerusalem, that the temple had been rebuilt, but the people in it did not feel safe because the walls were still in ruin and they were in shambles. And Nehemiah has a burden to go and see that the walls are rebuilt and his people are safe. And he goes back with God's help and he rebuilds the wall. And as we just read it, he does it not on his own, but it is accomplished in record time in 52 days. And everyone that sees it concludes, wow, look what the Lord has done. And this is important because when God uses you and I, he doesn't want people to look at you, what you have done. I over the years, I've had people come up to me, well-meaning people, people that don't know the Lord, but they just see around the community. They say, man, you've done a lot. And then just inside, you know, I say, thank you, that's nice. But inside I'm saying, God, you know, and I know that without you, I would be in a hole somewhere right now. Because without his help, we could do nothing. And so what can we learn from Nehemiah that can help us understand and discover our purpose? Number one, you got to have, and you will have, a passion for it. You will discover your purpose when you think about it all the time, when it burdens you, when it won't escape you, when it wakes you up at night, when you think about it all the time, it will never, ever leave you. Nehemiah 1, 3, and 4 says, and they said to me, the survivors who are left from the captivity in the province are there in great distress and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is broken down and its gates are burned with fire. Verse 4, so it was when I heard these words, he said, I sat down and I wept. He said, I mourned for many days, and I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. I remember when God laid a burden on me to start the church. And let me tell you something, it wasn't something that I was, you know, that I was looking to do. To be very honest with you, I wanted to continue to be a dairy farmer. I love cows. I love the smell of manure. I love this time of year. Till this day, this time of year, I'm walking out on the ground. I'm thinking, it's in me so much. But God pulled me away. And I remember I had a dream. It was a dream or a vision one night that God just lifted me up over the city. I was like 40, 50 feet in the air. And I remember him taking and showing me places that were broken down, places that were where people were living, that were living way below what the potential was that God had for them. I remember distinctly going down Swan Street. There used to be some, it's closed up now. There was some old bar down there. I remember him showing me that and me looking down at the people. They seem and look like they were having fun, but God told me they're broken. They're wounded. They're tore up from the floor up. They don't know where they're going. They don't know what life is about. And he says, I want you to preach my gospel to them. And I'd have that burden. I had no idea in the world how that would ever come to pass. The Bible says in Nehemiah 2:17, he said, I said to them, you see the distress that we are in, how Jerusalem lies in waste and its gates are burned with fire. Come, now let us rebuild the wall of Jerusalem that we may no longer be a reproach. He was not only bothered by it, but he set out to do something about it. Many people talk about what should happen, but they never take the step and engage in the process of doing it. When you are stirred by something so much, you will not tell other people this is what they should do. You will rise up in the power that God has placed in your life, and you will begin to do it yourself. And if you don't have any godly passion happening in your life, if you're just living for you, can I tell you, my brother and sister, you're living a small, minute life. But when you step out of that place that you refuse to live just for you and what you can get, and you begin to live with the purpose and the passion that God has put in you for where and what He could bring you to, you will see life like you have never, ever seen it before. Come on today. Do you believe that? And then he said, you'll see possibilities. Because when you have this passion, God will show you possibilities. In Nehemiah verse 2, he says, and it came to pass in the month of Nisan, in the 12th year of King Artaxerxes, when wine was before him, and I took the wine, and I gave it to the king, and I had never been sad in his presence before. Verse 2, therefore the king said to me, why is your face sad? Since you are not sick, this is nothing but sorrow of heart. So I became dreadfully afraid. Can I tell you that when God shows you the purpose that He has for you, there will be moments when you're not just afraid, you'll be dreadfully afraid. And he said, I said to the king, may the king live forever. Why should my face not be sad when the city, the place of my father's tombs, lies waste and its gates are burned with fire? He's sharing now with the king what God placed in his heart. And the king said to me, what do you request? So I prayed to the God of heaven, and I said to the king, if it pleases the king and your servant has found favor in your sight, I ask that you send me to Judah, to the city of my father's tombs, that I may rebuild it. And the king said to me, with the queen sitting beside him, how long will your journey be? When will you return? And it pleased the king to send me, and I set him a time. Let me tell you something. When the time is right, God will give you an opportunity. He'll give you the opportunity to do it. And this is where some get stuck, because they have the dream, they feel and sense the purpose, and God opens the door, and they get stuck at the place of being dreadfully afraid. Can I tell you today that when God opens the door, He wants you to walk in it. Not ahead of time, but when He opens the door. And the door to your purpose may be smaller than you think. I remember when God began to work on me about preaching. I didn't know any more about preaching than I know about doing a heart transplant. But I started reading the Word of God, and I started listening to my pastor. And I remember I'd go back to the cow barn, And then we had 44 stalls. We had 44 cows in the barn, 88 or 100 outside. And those cows in the barn, they were locked in stanchions. They couldn't go nowhere. They were going to listen to this brother preach to them. And I'm going to tell you something. They all got saved. They all gave more milk. They all began to walk with God. In my mind, anyways. I began to preach in the cow barn. I preached in the jail. You know, there's something when you start to learn to preach. You preach to cows that can't go anywhere, and you preach to people that can't go anywhere. I preached in the jail. I preached in drug rehabs. I preached in hospital rooms. I preached in nursing homes. I carried, Pastor Ron might not even know this, I went into Rochester on the corner of Dewey and Lyle Avenue. That's the upscale side of town, right? No, not really. I was carrying a boombox with a microphone. I'm preaching on the street, walking up and down these little streets, asking people to come to know Christ. You start small, but then God creates bigger possibilities for you. And when he does, he will give you the provision for it as well. In Nehemiah chapter 2 and verse 7, furthermore, I said to the king, if it pleases the king, let letters be given to me for the governors of the region beyond the river that they must permit me to pass through till I come to Judah, and a letter to Asaph, the keeper of the king's forest, that he must give me timber to make beams for the gates of the citadel, which pertains to the temple, for the city wall, for the house that I will occupy. And the king granted them to me, according to the good hand of my God upon me. Favor came and is over his life. And he said, I went to the governors in the region beyond the river and gave them the king's letter, and the king had sent captains of the army, and he sent horsemen with me. He not only gave him the provision, but he sent those to guard him that he didn't even anticipate. When we were in the process of purchasing this building, there was an organization in the community that said, oh no, that's not going to be a church. We're going to stop that. Unbeknownst to me. See, when you begin to walk in your purpose, and a lot of people say, well, I just don't know what to do. That's a good thing. More happened that I didn't know happened than happened that I knew would happen. When they said that's not going to happen, the attorney that represented the seller and our attorney, they both got together. They said, oh yeah? He said, we're going to both launch a $1 million lawsuit against you if you try to stop the sale of this building to this church. I didn't even know it. After that had happened, I heard the people say, we're glad that a church is moving in that building. God will send captains and horsemen with you to protect you when you begin to walk in your purpose and the plan that he has called you to. Our purpose will always have adequate supply for us to move forward with. I've seen this over and over. When we bought the building next door, we had done work. People had given. Everybody had just given so supernaturally. We came to where we're finishing and we're putting the roof on it. And the guys came. They did the roof, got the bill. Didn't have 5 cents. I'm laying awake at night. There was a gentleman in the church at that time. He's gone home to be with the Lord now. He said, Marty, I want to take you to the presidential prayer breakfast in Washington, D.C. I have friends there. I want you to meet them. It was at the Hilton in Washington. The president was there. I sat at table with senators, congressmen. It was one thing that stuck in my mind, presidential prayer breakfast, and nobody prayed before they ate. I was just sitting there watching these congressmen. I thought, well, that's a typical politician, eating before we pray. That's another story. I'm sitting there. We get out in the plane. He looks at me. He said, I see you put the roof on the building next door, yeah? He said, you don't have the money to pay for it, do you? I said, nope. He said, how much is it? I said, $25,836.32. He said, there'll be a check in the mail on Monday morning for that amount. Your roof is paid for. I'm going to tell you something. I could have flown faster than that plane I was sitting on right then. I got home. I did a jig up and down the street around the building. God will meet your need. He'll meet your vision. He'll come alongside of you. when you begin to walk in His purpose. Number four, and I wish I didn't have to share this point, when you discover your purpose, you will have haters in your life. I'm sorry to tell you that. I wish I had known this years ago. I wish I had understood that about the haters that would come into my life. But God uses these people in your life. And instead of you getting mad and sad and upset and defeated, smile and know that God is with you. Nehemiah chapter 2, verse 10, when Sanballat the Horonite and Tobiah the Ammonite officially heard of it, they were deeply disturbed. They were jealous. Stinking jealousy that eats people alive. They'd come to seek the well-being of the children of Israel. They had good intentions. And that's the hardest thing. That when you're trying to do something good, you got haters. Verse 19, Sanballat the Horonite. That name alone just says something to me. Tobiah the Ammonite official and Geshem the Arab heard of it. They laughed at us and they despised us. What is this thing you're trying to do? Will you rebel against the king? Haters! Nehemiah 4:1, he says, but it so happened when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he was furious and indignant and mocked the Jews. And he spoke before the brethren in the army of Samaria and said, what are these feeble Jews doing? Will they fortify themselves? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they complete it in a day? Will they revive stones from the heaps of rubbish, stones that are burned? And Tobiah the Ammonite was beside him, and he said, whatever they build, even if a fox goes upon it, he will break it down. What they're doing is nothing. It's a waste of time. And I remember hearing that when we were in the YWCA. I remember hearing people, they would laugh at us, send me little notes. What a loser you are. You're not going anywhere. You're not doing anything. You're wasting your time. I had one preacher call me up and he says, all you're doing is speaking to dead men's bones. Man, I got excited when he said that. I told him, well, I remember a scripture in the Bible when God called a prophet to speak to a valley of dead bones. And when he did, he heard a rattle, shake, and a movement, and they all came back to life. Come on, that's a time for you to thank him. Stop using your energy trying to fight against the haters. Let him do it. The Bible says in Psalm 63:11 that the mouth of liars, they'll be silenced. You are going to have haters when you move in the purpose that God has for your life. You even have apples thrown at you as well. Listen to this, Romans chapter 8 and verse 31. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, well, who can be against us? 1 John 4:4, greater is he that is in you than that liar that is in the world. 1 Peter 5:7, take the care and cast them all on Jesus. Psalm 56:9, then my enemies will turn back in the day when I call. Then I know that God is for me. Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. 2 Timothy 1:7, God did not give me a spirit of fear and timidity, but he gave me a spirit of power, and he gave me a spirit of love, and he gave me a spirit of a sound mind. And the haters are going to hate, but rise up in the power of who God has called and anointed you to be, and watch him do great things with and through you. Come on, if you're going to clap this morning, don't mess around. And last, I'm closing on this, Debbie, come on up. When you find your purpose, God will bring the right people to you. Whoo! I was thinking about that this morning. Pastor Ron Domino walks in, and my message began to change. I thought, Pastor Ron, those days that were the darkest in my life, and I wanted to run and just tell God to take it all. I don't want nothing to do with it. And you stood there, and you told me, you're going to do this. And here you are, sitting here today. If it wasn't for him fulfilling his purpose, I would never fulfill my purpose. And if I hadn't fulfilled my purpose, he would not fulfill his purpose. And if he didn't fulfill his purpose, look at this. Come here, Ryan, real quick. Little Ryan, come quick. Just disconnect. If they If you weren't here, if he wasn't here, these guys wouldn't be doing the purpose that God has already ordained them to do. Come on today. Puts the right people in your life. Nehemiah chapter 2 and 11. I came to Jerusalem and there was 3 days and I rose in the night a few men with me. I don't need a whole bunch. I just need 2 or 3. I just need a few men with me. I told no one what God had put in my heart to do at Jerusalem, nor was there any animal with me except the one I rode on, verse 17. And I said, you see the distress we are in, how Jerusalem lies in waste and its gates are burned with fire. Come, let us build the wall of Jerusalem that we may no longer be in reproach. And I told them of the hand of God which had been good upon me, and also the king's words that he had spoken to me. And they said, let us rise up. Let us build. Then they set their hands to do work in verse 6 in chapter 4. And we built the wall. And the entire wall was joined together to half its height, for the people had a mind to work. And all of the haters, I wish I could send them flowers today. Thank you, because the church is here. The Generation Center is here. St. Anthony's is here. My son and boys and grandchildren are here. When you follow the purpose that God has called for you in your life, miracles will happen on a daily basis for you, and nothing can stop it. Come on, if you believe it and receive it, you know how to put your hands together today like you really mean it. Come on. Come on, let's give God the best praise. Close your eyes and bow your head with me. Those of you that are watching at home, if you've never given your life to Jesus, you'll never discover your purpose. You'll just go from one thing to another. But when you give your life to him, he'll illuminate it. I asked my wife last night, just keep your eyes closed, your heads bowed, just for a moment. There was a picture of me the day I got saved. I got hair below my shoulders, and I opened up this big Bible. And I think Patty's grandmother was there, and she looked at me with tears in her eyes. She said, God is going to use you in a way you never thought. I'm telling you, I was the most useless, wayward, awkward, degenerate on the face of the earth. But God doesn't get tripped up with that. When you give your life to him, he changes you, he molds you, and he makes you. So, Pastor, I want to give my heart to Jesus today. If you're in here, no one looking around, just lift your hand. I want to pray for you online. If you want to give your life to Jesus, thank you. Thank you. If you want to give your life to Jesus, just say this. I want the whole church to say it with me. Say, Lord Jesus, take over my life. I ask you to be my Savior and my Lord. Forgive me of all my sin. I'm going to live for you all the days of my life. In Jesus' name I pray.